Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Church to your name. Worship to your name. Worship to your name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Rufika. Thank you, Mekadesh. Thank you, Karen Yeshi. We love you. We honor you. And we adore you. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you ask the Lord to speak a word to you today? Speak a word to you today. Speak a word. Speak a word. Speak a word. Speak a word. Let us pray to see the palabra. Speak a word. Father, speak a word to me. Master, colorate the brothers and Aglaya de la Hora to celebrate the Spanish. Le parata sete feta sacola brada de la Yata to celebrate the Lord. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Thank you for a night like this. Thank you for a season like this. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as we take your seat. While seated, 1 minute, lift your hand to God. Ask Him to say a word to you tonight that will change your life, that will revolutionize your life. Master Roto Soto Varanaka Lata Rata Sata Fato Soto Kokoloto Rata Sata Lata Rata 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 Sato Fata Sata Lata Prakoko Soto Fakata Kakalata Sata Ravata Koko Soklata Kakabata Sata Lepa Parata Sata Lata Fata Sakota Fata Lata Fata Shoproto Koko Sokloto Koko Soto Jaco Coparata Satellata Fata Fakata Fata Pratica Kakata Kakata Kakasta Zaroto Fata Kata Fata 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 Soto Fakata Kakata Kakasta Jatoto la patareta clata catasatora de catlata soto fata cacasalata. Jaco colata fata cacasalata cacasalata fascia protocol cosoclea of rabata de cacasalata. Jacolata fata soto fata cacalata shotolata fata batavasara. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I welcome everyone here today in the precious name of Jesus Christ. This is Kingdom Financial Stewards Meeting, where multimillionaires and billionaires are produced. Go ahead and give the Lord the praise. And this is the Destiny Recovery Convention version of this meeting. And so those who came ahead, 1 day ahead, already from Angola, from Botswana, from everywhere, Cameroon, you have all come, Zimbabwe, UK, already for the conference, Liberia, and all the places you have come from. You will have the opportunity of being in this meeting tonight and be blessed by it. Already we have millionaires and billionaires produced and are still being produced, and some are coming out of here. One man sat on that gallery many years ago, and he said, Lord, how do I move from millions to billions? And God gave him the wisdom while I preached from here. And he effortlessly shifted. And those principles are the same principles that you are hearing and you will hear. So, taking charge in finances. Taking charge in finances. The theme of the conference generally is taking charge of destiny. But here is taking charge in finances. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10 and in 10:15 rather. Proverbs 10 and in verse 15. It said, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So poverty destroys, and wealth is a stronghold. Poverty destroys. You see, The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The thief come to kill, to steal, to destroy. So poverty is in the class of the thief. It's in the class of Satan, the devil. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Wealth is a stronghold. Wealth is strength. And that is why we are looking at taking charge in finances. Our objective, of course, is to understand what it takes to take charge of finances. And when I'm saying taking charge in finances, this is what I mean. The following: number one, what does it take to exist beyond the harassment of lack? Exist above the harassment of lack, scarcity, and shortage. How do I exist above that harassment? It's a harassment. The harassment of lack, the harassment of scarcity, the harassment of shortage. You may be a millionaire, and yet lack is still harassing you in one area or the other where you want to get something done. And there is the harassment of lack, the harassment of scarcity, the harassment of shortage. Number two is, what does it take to exist and function without money cares and worries? That is what this teaching is about. What does it take to exist and function without money cares and worries? What do I do to exist in the realm where money is not a care? Money is not a worry. Not necessarily that you have abundance, so much of it, but it is not a care. It's not a worry. My wife and I, my wife knows that the least worry on earth for me is money matters. The least, zero. You say, we need to do this. I say, yes, get it done. From the our accounts office, we need to get this done. I say, why not get it done? When they hesitate a little, I say, what is the price of it? Is it worth $1 billion? Then they get confused. It's doable. Get it done. And always they get it done. Hallelujah. And so, how to come to that point? This construction, as small as it is, there was not one sleepless night one day. And not one day did it stop because money was not available. Not one day. What does it take to exist and function without money cares and worries? Number three, what does it take to master money and not be mastered by money? What does it take to master money and not be mastered by money? What does it take to send money on errands and not to run the errands of money? To send money on errands and not to run errands for money. There are people who spend the whole of their life running errands for money. They have zero time to serve God. They have zero time to do any other thing with their lives. They are running the errands of money. And I have realized that money can be such a good servant, but a terrible master. Very, very wicked master. Must not be the master of anybody. What does it take? Number four, what does it take to escape the limitation? Rather, what does it take to escape vision and destiny limitation from financial scarcity? Vision and destiny limitation. What does it take? There are many, many times where a man's vision is limited, destiny is limited because of financial scarcity and shortage. When we are talking about financial authority or taking charge in financial realms, what does it take to escape vision and destiny limitation from financial scarcity? There are many people, individuals. He couldn't become a medical doctor because the father had no money to send him to school. He couldn't achieve this because there was no money. Some have even died before their time because the money needed for the medical treatment was not available. How do we escape that? Destiny and vision limitation because of financial scarcity. That is what this subject is about tonight. And finally, what does it take for money to be to cease to be a consideration? What does it take for money to cease to be a consideration? A consideration. A consideration in what needs to be done. This need to be done, and money is not a consideration. You know, one of the things that will take the break off your vision is the lack of financial worries. It just removes the break. That is, if you will do anything, if money was not a problem, what will you do? If you are going to get anything done, if money was not a problem, what will you do? I was prayer coordinator for Raihabonke Crusade. I think that was 2007 in Abuja here. A4 size paper. They printed almost 30 million to paste on walls. 30 million. That time I calculated it in the church and I said, if one poster was 1 naira, multiply by 30 million. That's 30 million naira already. But it's not possible to be 1 naira. If it is 10 naira multiplied by 30 million. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Pasted it on walls. I asked the director, I said, what's happening? He said, oh, people make up their minds slowly. So you put the same thing, let them come across it over and over and over and over. Then they make up their mind. Take your seat. That year, somebody flew his jet from Barbados to attend the crusade in Abuja. One of those under his influence. In fact, that jet went twice. The jet went, brought Bonke first, and then went and brought the man. It's like taxi cab. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many people who are afraid to dream because they are hindered by lack. They are afraid to think. They are afraid to dare. They are afraid to imagine. They are afraid to fly. Time-tested reasons. Why do we need to take financial charge? Number one, we are the children of the owner of the heaven and the earth. The owner of silver and gold. We are the children of the owner of the heavens and the earth. The owner of silver and gold. In Proverbs 24 and in verse 1. Sorry, Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwell therein. The world, and they that dwell therein. The world. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. It says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. You cannot be the child of the owner of the silver and the gold and die as a beggar. What will you tell him? Even there is a way you should be treated as the son of the owner of silver and gold. If you go to England, the king technically owns everything. He's the king's Royal Air Force. He's his Majesty's mail. The post office. Everything is his Majesty's. There is a percentage of the wealth of England that is natural for the royal family. They don't need to do anything. When the child is born to the royal family, they begin to train them from childhood. You are royalty. You can't move anyhow. You can't talk anyhow. You can't go everywhere. This is how to reason. This is how to behave. We are the owner. We are the children of the owner of the silver and gold of the earth. It falls to us naturally. Take your seat. My father was a luxury bus owner. Bus transportation, long buses. At the age of 17, 18, I applied to him that I want to follow the buses. Just follow the bus after my secondary school. I want to follow the bus. So I followed the bus. Not more like a regular conductor, but just follow the bus and see what they do. One day, around in between Oyo and Ogbomoso, we're going from Lagos to Kano in the night. Customs stopped the bus on the road. And then they were doing the normal things they normally do. And I was very hot-headed. I've been very hot-headed since childhood. And I began to confront the customs officer. What are you? What's happening? What are you checking? And the man got angry. He had a gun. So who is this boy talking to me like this? All right, boss, you can be going. He will remain here. So, driver said, we are going nowhere. The boy is here, the boss is going nowhere. What will I tell his father? He said, oh God, I beg, he's the child of the owner. Hey! We all remain here. We remain here. The boss will sleep here. We remain here. We can't move from here. The boss should go and the boy should. How? It was not by my own qualification. It was because the boy is the owner's child and you cannot hold him. And I'm not talking of the owner of an earthly king. I am talking of the owner. I'm talking of you are the child of the owner of the heaven and the earth. The owner of silver and gold. The owner of America. The owner of Europe. The owner of Britain. The owner of the whole world. And the devil wants to detain your life and detain your destiny and hold you back. Somebody shout, no way! Would you stand up on your feet and just let me tell seven people, tell them, I am the child of the owner. Woo! You have not said it well. Help me walk to seven people. Tell them, I am the child of the owner. I am the child of the owner. The owner of heaven and the earth. The owner of heaven and the earth. The owner of heaven and the earth. I am the child of the owner of the universe. I am the child of the owner of silver and gold. I am the child of the owner. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Now a place in vernacular they say, Oyoche, Oche. every child of the king is a king. At least he's a priest, prince. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It is important, and we enjoyed such privilege in the village. Because our father, again, was a traditional ruler. When you are coming, they are looking at you somehow. I want you, I want us to come to the point. Tomorrow night, I'll be preaching on righteous rebellion. Ay, 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 ay. Hey! Convention has started already. Hey! I want your brain to scatter in some ways. I want your brain to scatter in some ways. I want you to react against some things. There are things I want you to refuse. Let me not enter tomorrow's Amasida. There is a rebellion that is righteous. Sit down. We are the children of the honor. Number two. We live in the world. Why do we need financial authority? Why do we need to take financial charge? Two, we live in a world where more good can be done with much money than without money. We live in the world where much more good can be done with much money than without money. That is a notorious fact. More good. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 19. A truck is entering the church. I think they are dropping something. I'm seeing how small the church is that a truck can be entering inside. See, the truck is entering from that gate there. It shows you the smallness of the... You can imagine how many of such trolls can comfortably sleep here if they need accommodation. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 19, the Bible said, "The feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to verse 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The man with the money is a distributor, can effortlessly become a generational distributor. The man without the money becomes a perennial consumer. Looking for what to swallow. Listen. Life is full of questions. But the man with the money is full of answers. There are so many answers that money provides. It answers the unemployment question. Not only are you not looking for a job, but with enough money, you may be able to employ 10,000 people on your payroll. With enough money. So, even if you don't need money because of you, what about those who can be employed because you have money? One of us here, I don't want to embarrass him. He has people on his employment. Plenty. And then one day, when I went to dedicate one of his establishments. I said, what about this one? He said, this one is established so that the proceeds of this can pay everybody's salary. That is, the profit from this factory is paying the salary of every other business, so that the profit of the other businesses go in block, untouched for overhead. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I have 20,000 people working for me from this industry or this production factory or whatever it is. 10,000 people. Their salary amounts to about 300 million a month, maybe. I then establish, and the turnover is like 1 billion monthly. I then establish another factory that can bring returns of 300 million to pay this people's salary, so that this 1 billion can go untouched. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are realms of operation. If your life must be an answer, you must have money. Am I communicating? If you must be an answer to many people around your life, in the season we are in this country, people like us, people are on our neck plenty. This one wants to be set up, that one wants to be set up, this one wants to be set up, this one needs assistance. Plenty. I need help to set something. 2 million. I need one. 1.5. I need one. 3 million. This and that. It's on a continuous basis. Am I communicating at all? I'm going to talk more later. But the man with the resources is more helpful than the one without, most times. Many. What the one with the resources can do for his generation, the other one may have just advice, counsel that has not produced any result for himself. It was Russell Conwell, the founder of Temple University. He wrote a book titled Acres of Diamond. It was from him that I heard that statement. That the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, at times you can't fulfill it with poverty. That is your commandment breaker on account of scarcity. But you can love your neighbor. See, one member of our church here, the home cell, somebody moved and they planted a new home cell in his house. We have a few home cells in this church, right? Have 14,000 now, right? In FCT, in Abuja City. All right. So, they shifted the home cell to his house. And one of the new members of the home cell who came to his house, he being the host, is the age of his daughter. And he told the man, the father of the girl, whose house they are now attending home cell, he said, you know what? I want to pick this your daughter and give her the same quality of education I am giving my own child. That was what he began to do. School where they are paying millions per term. The same dress, if he buys the daughter this cloth, he will buy that child the same cloth. The same level of anything. And all of them stood on this altar to testify. The girl is testifying. How he just wrote her exam. And the man is planning to go all the way to the university, everywhere. And move them to live in his house. And now, the girl is standing testifying. And I say to the people, this kind of kindness is impossible with poverty. For those who advocate poverty. For those who are spokespersons for poverty. is impossible. Love your neighbor as yourself means the kind of car you are driving. Give it to your neighbor. Let me tell you this. I had an encounter recently with a man. I knew him long ago. But he made some mistakes in life and ministry. And the mistake cost him so much. Had crisis with his wife. Very well. Let me not go into the details. But he made some wrong steps. Stepped out marital, out of his marital home. Married another person. And all those kind of things. Everything went down. Everything went down. Everything went down. When he realized himself, he retraced his steps. At the point where he retraced his steps, he has no house. He was living in the woman's house. At the point where he retraced his steps, everything was bad. I got to know about it. And one of his friends called and said, this is the situation, but this man has recognized himself and is about to make the right move. I said, right? We will rescue him at all costs. We'll rescue him at all costs. And we'll make sure that the devil regret the distraction he caused him. So what do we do to establish him? They sent a bill of $12 million for accommodation. It's a place where accommodation is so high. It was sent on the spot. What next? He needs to move around. All right. Let's find something appreciable. Found a car for about $10 million. Off the ground car, an SUV. That was sent again. Off the ground. That was sent again. So the man said, I am appreciative. I said, oh no. We are attacking the demon of reproach. We are attacking the devil of disgrace. You had a voice and you must recover it. You had the voice and you must recover it. Even if the devil cut your hair, Samson's hair grew. Hallelujah. Now, there are plenty of such things to do, but it cannot be done with scarcity. A church is up. Okay, that's the girl I'm talking about. That's the testimony. Oh, wow. Our media people, you are so excellent. How do you do this? You just pull this testimony up on the spot. Give them a big clap. When people do well, you commend them. Give them a big clap. This is highly commendable. I didn't tell you the date. I didn't tell you the date, time of the testimony. Yet you were able to get it and pull it up. Isn't that impressive? Bill Winston one day preached in a Rwandan church. He said, can you tell your media people to tell us what to send your media people to let our people know what to do? He said, before I drop the passage, the scriptures on the screen, how are they doing it? What software is that? And our people connected with their people and dropped whatever they shared with them, and then that began to land. When I went to preach there, they were dropping the scriptures for me like that. Give them a clap again. That's the testimony I just shared with you. We are the man. Took the daughter. That's the girl reading the test. See, he's wearing the same uniform with the man's child. The same dress. That's the testimony I just shared. Take your seat. Hallelujah. So a church was up for sale. And people of the other religion wanted to buy it and turn it to their place of worship. And the camp chairman of that state sent to me, our pastor in that state told me, a church is about to be sold, and they want to buy it and turn it. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And the church don't have money. I said, how much is the bill? Once they sent it to us, it was paid on the spot. The church bought the property and continued as a church. And the name of Jehovah was not reproached. And Jesus was not put to shame. More fact is, till today I don't know the pastor. I don't know the name of the church. I don't know the pastor. I haven't met him. I don't need to meet him. When we go to heaven, we will see each other. Look at your neighbor, say, this money, I must have it. Say, there is too much good to do. There is too much good to do. And it can be done with resources. And I will have the resources. I will have plenty of it. I will have plenty of it. I will have plenty of it. As a person, as an organization, as an institution, we will have plenty of it. Take your seat. More like a two-day preaching. Number three, why do we need money? Need financial to take financial charge. Number three, we live in a world where people influence is higher with resources than without. Your influence on people is higher with resources than without. A poor man's voice is not heard. His wisdom is despised. This is how life has been wired to function. You cannot advise against it. Your influence with people is higher. We went to Adoka for crusade. We flew in the helicopter. By the time we were landing, the crowd gathered already around the helicopter. Plenty crowd. So we spoke to that. We went to the daytime to pray on the crusade ground before coming for the crusade itself at night. The village crowd gathered en masse. They wanted to see the bird that can land, that has engine, that has sound. We waved to them, spoke to them, and let them know we'll be back in the evening. Some of them didn't leave that ground. Be back in the evening, so we should go home and come back. How? We are here. Can you show that Adoka crowd if you can pull it up? Think. Why? Because that's a village in Benue State. That is not a local government headquarter yet. It's not a state capital. Hallelujah. Now, take your seat. On top of that, we distributed welfare. Treated thousands of people free of charge medically. Here. So, the injection from below, the unction from above. Both of them handling the infection. Hey! Hey! I don't know about you, but this is the kind of God I want to serve. Look, that's right. Okay. Hallelujah. This is the afternoon before the crusade itself. This is the medical outreach going on. Taking off to another I think on this day we did four locations. Four or five villages. They are singing. How will you not sing? I joined them in the sing. We're all singing. Distributing things to them. This church was built by one person, a member of this church, for that village, for this place. The church, the pastorum, pastor's house, everything is right there in one place. How ugly is the thing you saw just now? Praise the Lord. That is, I mean, it is confirmed. It is fully confirmed that influence is higher. Now, the Bible is not even, look at how the scripture put it, Proverbs chapter 14 verse 20. It's very annoying if you read this passage. The poor is hated. If you stop at hated, it's enough. The poor is hated. Why are you hating him? He is poor. What did he do? Nothing. Poverty. The poor is hated, even of his own neighbor. But the rich has many friends. The meaning of that is wealth is an attraction. But what is exciting to us is that as they are attracted, they are impacted. That's what excites us. It's not as if I'm just looking for people to be braggadocious and claim that I am bigger than you. Just come close to me. I infect you righteously. I impact you positively. I impact you positively. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I carry something. I have something that magnetizes you. And then as you are magnetized, you are imparted. You are magnetized and evangelized. That is why the devil does not want the church to have money. That is why they are against the wealth and the riches of the church. Because it will increase our influence profile. Nobody goes against a poor church. You don't have any attack on any poor church on the internet. You don't have nothing. I mean, they are living in peace. But just rise in fall. We came here in 2018. For 22 years, we existed as a church. People were coming from all over the world. Impact massive. But when the impact, the financial impact became visible by the Glory Dome dedication, when the building was on, people were not even aware of what was going on yet. But when is a church? And when we said the roof can buy planes, only the roof is in millions of dollars. Some people almost pulled their hair. How? Church, why didn't they use the money to build factory? They wanted to die. They are still in coma till now. Convulsion. Once in a while, they begin to fit again. The devil does not mind a poor church or a church when they think they don't have so much. But when they began to see things that look like these people are not struggling, especially when you don't have a cup in hand around government or begging or being seen in such quarters looking for anything, it increases their aggravation and the agitation and the irritation. What then could be their source? But I have bad news for the devil. They have seen nothing yet. They have seen nothing yet. In terms of, because I'm talking to you now, many of us now are going to reproduce many things in terms of results and financial impact and begin to persecute the devil from nation to nation, from corner to corner, from city to city. All of a sudden, the devil is on the run from Zimbabwe. He reaches Angola, somebody kicks him out from there. Oh, yeah. He went to Cameroon, somebody kicked him. He landed in Liberia, they roasted him. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. Oh Lord, my time alarm is ringing and I have not reached 1/3 of the message. We live in that world. Proverbs 19:4 and 19:17. That is why you must reject scarcity. He said, wealth maketh many friends. This is what I'm saying. Resources make you have influence. It makes you attract people that can be impacted. Wealth maketh many friends. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now you go to verse 7. He says that again. Verse 7. All say, brethren, now this, it, the matter has now just left neighbor to his blood relation. All the brethren of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with his words. Yet they are wanting, they are not available. So, boss, when we go out, say, go out to do what? On empty pocket? Haven't you seen people? See people before. They are wearing one dress to church. They are hating them for wearing the dress. Say, one cloth all the time. Is that the only cloth you have? Instead of attracting pity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, this cloth now has become his signboard. See trouser. Why is it afraid of the ground? You know? What should make people pity them is they are hating them. You say, look at blouse. Do you lack material? Why can't it? Instead of saying, let me change your clothes for you. That the poverty spirit is provoking hatred instead of favor. It's a demon. It's a spirit. That poverty spirit is provoking, activating hatred, activating disfavor, activating rejection instead of compassion. Why? That is why you need to take charge for your sake. And like he told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. For the sake of the brethren, you need to take financial charge. You need to raise people up. Number four, why do we? You know, all the things I'm saying, if I stop, they are already over-preached. Because, number four, we live in the world. We are God's kingdom. And cities are built and spread by massive resources. God's kingdom and his cities are built and they are spread by massive resources. What he said to King Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to verse 3, he said, thus saith the Lord, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. He said, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. For what purpose? And I will give to you the treasures of darkness, and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. I'm going to give you wealth. For what? Verse 13. For what? Verse 13. For what? I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. I am giving him this money to build my city. He shall let go of my captives, not for price, nor for reward. He's going to do things and not charge people for it. So we're going out for crusade for free. We're giving welfare for free. Thousands of people are fed every Sunday in this church with raw food. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Not for price, not for reward. God wants his cities built. He wants his kingdom built. And he wants people who will do it with free of charge. Who will not charge people for doing it. I can't believe that crusade happened in Warri this year. Uyo, Lagos, Calabar, Oka, Maiduguri, Pakistan, Togo, Ghana, United Kingdom. Then we went to Canada and went to America, all in this year. And all the open air crusades, we flew ourselves, all these programs, we flew private. That is that should give you an implication of what we're talking about. When we were in Oka going to Maiduguri, there was no direct flight. So, no, Calabar to Oka first. So the plane that took us went back and took the instrumentalist, the protocol, usher, and so on. And then from Accra to Maiduguri, the same thing. They dropped us and returned back. The other one that was to come had a slight hitch and couldn't come. Do you understand what I'm saying? And all these massive expenses, free medical treatment, free welfare, side by side with the crusade, is going on, and there is not one offering taken on the crusade ground. You can't be poor. Warri crusade, one person dropped 50 million. He spends a little more. My degree crusade, somebody else dropped more than that. All the people I'm talking about in this meeting right now. Including those who are building churches, building. We dedicated a couple of churches recently. Some of the builders that sponsored it from beginning to the end are also seated here. We are not, what we are talking is not theory. It's working. It has produced people. It's producing. And it will produce and reproduce in you. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud most amen. Take your seat. So it's very important. He said, my seat. True prosperity shall be spread abroad. That is why you and me and the church need to take charge in financial. You see, terrorism is spreading around the world like fire. Am I communicating? When we went to Togo, it was a cry. One of the officials that met with us at the airport, I said, how is the country? He said, this country was only 3%. Well, let me not go into those statistics. But he said, right now, the north of their country is occupied by terrorists. Howard, and this was a place where it was less than 3 or how many percent of the kind of people who can do terrorism there. But it's nice to say they are almost 30 or 40%. And somebody wants us to sleep as a church. Even churches are not planted enough yet. Some say there are too many churches. Churches are not planted enough yet. Crusades are not happening enough yet. Crusades are not happening enough yet. And all of this require massive resources. Can be anointed as much as you can, but you don't have enough resources. You are stranded. You are annoyed. Hallelujah. Finally, number 5. Why should we? Please, these things that I'm telling you, more like reasoning with the Holy Spirit. The children of the owner cannot be lacking the gold. You can't do much with lack. Your influence is limited if your resources is limited. The number of people who want to hear you or come close to you are few. If you are dry in resources, you can't even do much as far as the spread of the kingdom is concerned. You have a good heart, good church member, but that's the extent you can do. We have people here today who fly themselves all over the world with their own money to do protocol work. Before I arrived in Canada, a protocol officer was waiting for us at the airport from here. Paid his own fare, did everything, received us at the airport. Everywhere, ushers. When we went to Pakistan, somebody paid his fare in 6 zeros and paid for another person on their own bill to go and do church work there. For 2 days. They are not the preacher, but they are part of the church work and church team.
and took themselves there to serve there with resources massive.
One day I asked Dr. Mr. Lynch, I said, why are these people bothering themselves going everywhere? Why are they spending so much money to here, to here? Then she told me, yeah. In fact, one of them told her that the more they went, the more the resources exploded. That as they return back home, jobs are just waiting. Things are just exploding. One showed me a job of almost 400 and something million the other day. Aside from hundreds of millions of jobs he was doing somewhere else. Going from crusade to crusade. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So it's very, very important for us to do kingdom work. And like I said, we speak in tongues and we speak in cash.
No, don't speak in tongues and speak in mouth.
Speak in tongues, speak in cash. Massiveness of resources. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Papa Yerepo said he traveled to America one day. And I think at that time they said, well, it is up to you now. You shouldn't carry up to $10,000 or more. I don't know whether he carried more than that. And the customer immigration officer or somebody said, the money is so much. So how is it? Say it's my money. I said, okay. So, but the man says, I said it is my money. I can carry anything I want. Anytime, it's my own. So, okay. You can't go, sir. Can't go, sir. Because there are people you cannot harass.
Hey! I see something changing for somebody here tonight.
The final thing is very, very important, and I think the church needs to hear this. Why do we need to take financial charge? Because we live in the world where those who have the gold make the rules. Those who have the gold make the rules. Rules. They make the rules. Something called the golden rule. This is another golden rule. It is those who have the means who also have the voice. That is the people they want to listen to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yet? This is very important. So if the devil can succeed in making the church, the body of Christ, and members of the body of Christ poor, then it deprives us of the voice and deprives us of the capacity to make rules. We rule makers are gathered. I said earlier on, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16, it said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Those who have the means are those who have the voice. A poor church is a voiceless church. Poor pastor, voiceless pastor. Poor ministry, voiceless ministry. Poor body of Christ, voiceless body of Christ. What was it that made Pilate to hand over the body of Jesus to Joseph of Arimathea? Bible says it's a rich man of Arimathea, whose name was Joseph. He went to Jesus, he went to Pilate in the evening and demanded. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. It's not a poor man, it's a rich man of Arimathea. His name Joseph. It's not a poor man, it was a rich man who also was a disciple. So discipleship does not equal hardship. Huh? Discipleship does not equal hardship. He was a disciple that was loaded. Disciple that was wealthy. Disciple that was rich. Disciple whose voice could be heard. Pilate, what did you do to my master? What are you talking about, Joe? The man you crucified is my master. Oh, no. But Joe, why didn't you tell me? Nobody hinted me. I didn't know you were related to the man. Joe, don't do this next time. We met in the town council meeting last time. You never said anything. Even on the board of the recently opened bank. We're on the same board. I'm so sorry for your loss, Joe.
Hey! Officers, bring that body now. Hand it to him.
Joe, please, if you need further assistance, let me know. I can promise you this cannot happen another time. He respected Joe because of wealth. Why are we looking for respect when we lack resources? Two things will give you respect: character. Another thing that will give you respect is massive resources. Take your seat. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? We need to take charge in different territories. And those of us who are here today, some of us are at some level of some millions already. God is saying you have not started. You see, look at the level where people like Bill Gates are. Know of Bill Gates, right? Is Bill Gates a medical doctor? Bill Gates went to the university to study law. He could have been a lawyer, but he dropped out. Around third or fourth year, he had more passion for mathematics. He had more passion for computers. And he followed his passion and became one of the wealthiest men on the earth. By means of his wealth, Bill Gates wangled his way to begin to make rules in the medical profession. The number one voice during COVID was Bill Gates. He was behind people like Fauci and all of that, his organization. He insisted, even when professors of medicine became like children, immunologists, infectious disease professors. Everybody was just at attention. We have not done enough clinical trials of these vaccines. We have not even proved anything yet. No way. Bill Gates and Bill Gates Foundation and everybody in that group, they were all behind this. Let's push. Let's go. They had the means. They locked down the whole world. It's more than a year, isn't it? Lock down the whole world. How many of you know of many vaccine deaths that happened, especially in America? How many of you know of many who haven't taken the vaccine and never took it, will never take it, and who are on their feet, healthier than those, some of those who took it? But a man from another field came out at the frequency of resources. Some of them have a heart for population control. We'll talk about that another time. That is why the church must have money. We have people at certain levels now, but we need people to be catapulted to that range. America today is ruled by a billionaire. If you advise him and he wants to listen to your advice, he can. If not, just go with your advice. If your advice was good, why don't you fight your way to the way I am now? He doesn't care for anybody or anything. And then he's now surrounded by another billionaire. Elon. The two of them together now, it's like whatever we say must happen here. That is the power of money. That those who have the gold make the rules. If you want to be a ruler, ensure that you are gold loaded. Take your seat. These things are real. I like us to mix spirituality with massive financiality. I don't want to say prosperity, financiality. Let's merge it together. Lest the devil be persecuted and sent away to hell. If I stop here tonight, I have said so much, except that I will say, what do we do to take charge? And I will rush through that. Number one, be in relationship. All right, before I go there, let me show you an example of how a person can make rule with his resources and also contend with other rule makers because he also has money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Contend in their realm. You look at Job. In Job chapter 29, from verse 15 to verse 17, Job was a wealthy man. He said, I was eyes to the blind. I was feet. Feet was eyes to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked. These are the wicked rich. And pluck the spoil out of his mouth. I wish another translation can give me that verse 17. Verse 17 from the Living Bible, the New. Is I smashed the jaws of, I destroyed the power of cruel men and rescued their victims. I am a rich man. They are rich men. They are using their money to oppress people. It is money versus money. I came with higher wealth and delivered their victims. I smashed the jaws of the wicked. I snatched the prey from his teeth. This is the realm where you go to the prison and a rich man puts somebody there because the person cannot have a voice for himself and you engage a lawyer for them. Paid all the money necessary. Rescued the man from the wicked grip of the wicked. If they needed whatever bail conditions, you paid for it. Set them free. You are using your money to make rules in the realm of money and to break rules where necessary. Is that a Pidgin English version of verse 17? I destroy power of wicked men and save who them they do wickedness to. Hallelujah. I don't know who them do you wickedness. Tonight you shall be set free. Amen. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, if it's money, I must have it. Say, if it's money, I must have it. Say, because, among other things, I am the child of the owner. Number one, what do we do to take charge? Number one, be in relationship with the owner of the universe. Solid relationship. Be his own. Isaiah 61 verse 8. Verse 9. All and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Come to the point where God knows, the devil knows, those who love you know, those who hate you know, that you belong to God. Let there be no controversy. Be owned by God. Let him own you. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 37, verse 25 to verse 26. I have been old, young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. He is a giver, not a beggar. A lender, not a borrower. And his seed is blessed. Be real with God. Be authentic. Be genuine in your relationship with God. Number two. Be in the service of the owner of the universe. Be in the service. Serve him. Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Serve the Lord your God. Serve the Lord your God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 14 to 16. Malachi 3. He has said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Now verse 16. 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my dwells, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. I will spare them as a man spareth. I will distinguish them. I will make them my precious material. I will make them valuable. I will make them wealthy. This is one key that Christian businessmen and millionaires have not learned. In Luke 22:25, and he said unto them, 22:35, am I right? And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Let him send you. You will lack nothing. Run his errands. He pays your bills. Christian businessmen, please, don't sit down in church in executive positions. It's an error. Be active. I've seen people stand in this church doing ushering work or protocol work or other kind of work who, one of them told me some time back, he said, his job range is in 20-something billions. It's a mistake. It's an error. Serve the Lord. In soul winning, in evangelism, I know of billionaires who have a weekly schedule of soul winning, some under the cover of this commission. The man called Koscharis carries his megaphone. He's the road in Lagos. He's preaching the gospel. That man is worth billions. Franchise owner for Rolls Royce, BMW, any top of the range in Nigeria. One of the young men answerable here, also in, I see him here and there in programs, Aggressive for God, asked me to come and dedicate his bank. They declared truthful declaration of profit up to $1 trillion. He has not stopped. They overtook banks that existed before them. Mention their names. They overtook all of them. One of the men, again, that God helps us to cover, He stands till tomorrow as an usher in his church. He's in Winner's Church. His wife in the choir. I want our Christian brethren who deal with resources. Let God show you your area of service. The man says if he wants to buy a house, he buys it like he wants to buy sweet. That is in terms of how much the house is costing him versus what he has. He has never taken a loan in his life. If you give him a 100 billion job, he has enough money to start the job until you are ready to pay him. People there. At the frequency of service, he's standing there ushering. You see his face, you will never know he has 1 naira. And it's not on the face. Hallelujah. This matter, pastors, don't outgrow service. Don't outgrow service. You are the pastor of the church, but you must be the chief servant. However you can serve, serve. Is anybody getting anything here at all? I know we have done other things. We have paid your tithe and all of that. Add service to it. It might be sanctuary cleaning. They post you to this entrance or that entrance and that toilet. You have your billions. But you are still cleaning toilets in church. You are still cleaning the floor before people come. And see what God does to you. You say, you are at this level and you are still doing this one. I will show you. Number 3. Be in covenant, in partnership with the owner of the universe. Be in covenant, stroke partnership with the owner of the universe. Let God be your partner in what you do. Let your business be in partnership with God. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, we saw the story of Peter. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That is, he surrendered his tool. After that, he said, now launch into the deep for a draught. He did that. He enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Partnership. Come to the point where God knows that whatever you are doing for a living, it is you and him doing it. That your business belongs to the two of you. That your whatever you are doing. Now, I heard something the other day about the Samaritan Purse. The Samaritan Purse is a charity organization owned by Billy Graham's son, Franklin, or rather, chaired by Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. The Samaritan Purse, I think last year their budget, so they go around the world and welfare, medical outreaches, and all of that. Their budget was $1 billion for the organization, and it was cleared. So the person that was talking to me, I said, so how? How are they functioning? Because Billy Graham never took an offering on a crusade ground. His son follows his father's footsteps. So the Samaritan Purse, they have planes, executive planes, Falcons, Gulfstreams, and so forth. And they have them positioned at different parts of the world. And then they have a Boeing aircraft that is a hospital. Once the aircraft lands, it's hospital that arrived. Ear, nose, and throat, general surgery, internal medicine, delivery room. The hospital is like a fly, the plane, Boeing. And so they come, let's say, to India, or they come to Benue or something, and they land where they can land. And then everybody troop in that direction who need medical attention. A budget of $1 billion cleared. I said, so what happens? He said, there are big businesses who consider it their duty to give both their tithes and givens to them. And of course, they must have proven them over the years that they are faithful stewards. So, they can't be stranded. They have like 100 pilots under their payroll, apart from other employees around the world. So these businesses, corporations, are in active partnership with God like that, with the work of God like that. Not only are the individuals giving offering, but the whole organization is giving the tenth or more of their income to this corporate, to this Christian charity, ministering and impacting the whole world, and those organizations could not, cannot crash. That's what it means for a Christian businessman or a Christian business person to be in active partnership with Jehovah. What you do, God has a stake in it. God has a stake in it. That's one of their big planes they are showing us now. Supplies they are putting right in there. This one is a cargo plane. Food, cloth, whatever, around the world. Am I communicating? The best way to live is to live for God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Everything is a waste outside of God. Well, how much money will you take out of this world? You built your business until it was $20 billion, $100 billion. And then you die and go to heaven. Other people come to manage it. What is it that will follow you to heaven? It is the impact, the resources of your business made for the kingdom. Made. How many churches were built by your cooperation? How many crusades was your organization part of? How many welfare? How many orphans and so on were impacted? That is what counts when you arrive in eternity. Not the house you personally lived in. Not the car you personally drove. Not the number of places you personally went around the world, or how many places you have citizenship of. Hallelujah. Be in partnership with God. Take your seat. Is anybody hearing anything here tonight? I'm giving you practical example. Number four, our stop shot is already 8 o'clock, and we need to come back for command the midnight prayer. Possess, number four, possess the mentality of abundance. There is a mindset that wealthy people, or people who will be wealthy, there is a mindset they have. I have that mindset since. Things. Proverbs 21 and in verse 5. And I'll tell you what the mindset is all about. It says the thoughts of the diligent, it tends only. That word only is critical to plenteousness. There are people whose mind think only plenty. They don't think scarcity. They don't think shortage. They don't think lack. They don't believe that they should have anything to do with lack. The mentality says, money is not a problem. The mentality says, There is plenty of money in the universe.
The mentality says, I can have all the money I want to do all I want to do in life. He says, I can't have a money problem. I can't have. And you program this mentality with the word.
I was preaching at Bill Winston's ministry September, I think 3 years ago. Jesse Duplantis was also a guest minister then, along with others. Bill Winston actually should be here in August convention as well. He's 81 or 82 years old. And I feel that people who are advancing like that, they have what to drop for younger generations coming.
Yeah,
80-something years, still jetting around the world. So Jesse Duplantis said, he told God that they have so much to do, he needs at least $100 million. Dollars or is a billion. I can't remember the exact. Is that $100 million or a billion within the year? Then he said something that I'm sure it blew everybody's mind. He said, you know what? Truth is that there is no scarcity of money in the earth. He said there is money in the world. Problem is that it's in the hands of many wrong people. No problem of money in the world. Owner of tobacco industry is selling tobacco and flying the Falcon 9 or flying Global Express all over the world. And it's not a problem. Somebody with the unbeliever movie industry, a billionaire drug pusher, has plenty of the money and can fly anything around the world, no problem. He that needs to save souls and rescue people from hell to heaven for God should be struggling to get money and struggling to move about? No way. So he made up his mind that money is not lacking on earth. The other day, I heard Papa Yerebo. It was a message of almost 30 years ago he preached concerning the wealth of the earth. And he preached that if you calculate the amount of gold in this world, the deposit, and you calculate the amount of diamond in the world, and you calculate the amount of copper in the world, and you calculate crude oil in the world, by the time you combine the amount of money that it amounts to, and then you divide it by the number of people, by the time you divide it for the number of people that are on the earth, everybody is a billionaire. Ecclesiastes 5:9. See what he said. And I want you to read it. Want to go? Every deposit and wealth on the earth is for all of us. There has been an uneven distribution, but there can be redistribution. With the right mentality, it's for all. So if the profit of the earth is for all, and you divide the wealth of the whole earth for all, everybody is a billionaire. Then why are people who can potentially have billions be struggling to survive? So you just need to change your mind. There is enough allocation on the earth for me to make me a billionaire. I might not need all the billions for anything, but I need enough to mark my generation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That mentality change is important. My wife is aware of it. If I see them, if I see anybody wear any cloth that is not dignified, I say, I want to catch that cloth and burn it or bury it. House well. I said, what is hanging on your body like hanger? Can you go and remove it? They will be laughing. they will be laughing. I told my young man the other day, I said, what is that? Disappear it. It's house cloth. That is, there should be no nothing to identify you for any reason. Don't tolerate scarcity. Don't be patient with lack. Don't go and steal. Don't go and cheat. But do everything righteously correct to ensure that you react against something. So, and it starts with the mentality. You may not have plenty of the physicality, but have the abundance of the mentality. Do you know what? The mind is one of the greatest magnets in life. The mind is a magnet. I'm talking from experience. When last did you think about somebody and suddenly you hear their phone call? The thought of the man just crossed your mind. And then who is texting you? I just thought of you. Or I just mentioning your name and then you just called. You said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you need, you cannot have a small mind and end with a big life. When you go to Canaan land and see the size of that kind of building, you come here, you sit in that. They don't happen by accident. They don't come out of tiny minds. If your mind is plastic, ensure it is elastic, stretchable. Stretchable endlessly. Take your seat. Do you know the major difference between the prodigal son and his senior brother? The elder boy, mentality. The prodigal son had the mentality of abundance. His character he lacked. He told his father, he said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. So he was minded, he knew there was something that belonged to him. And he entered his hand. Just that he squandered it without wisdom. The elder brother had resources but lacked mentality. He said, you know what he said? What is happening? They say, oh, junior brother, who went out and spent everything and has come back and your father is celebrating. He became angry. I won't come home. When eventually they convinced him, he said, all these years I have been serving you. You have not given me baby goat kid to celebrate with my friends. But this your boy who spent and wasted his money with riot, with prostitutes, you are celebrating him. His father said, wow. So this is why you are where you have been. Son, you are ever with me. All that I have. You couldn't get a goat because you are not aware. All that I have is yours. If you say, give me this house, you would have had it. But if it didn't cross your mind, it can't cross your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What is not in your heart can't enter your hand. If it is not in your mind, it cannot enter your hand. All that I have is yours, and you have not given me a kid, means you didn't have a kid because your mind did not contain the kid. You didn't have it because you don't think it. I was passing the airport one day. I saw a very good-looking plane. Just neat outside. You know the way you see a car? You say, this plane looks good. And we're passing. We needed somebody to organize a flight for us. It was the same plane that was organized. The same. Then. How come this plane we just passed? This looks good. The same. I can give you stories like that. Plenty of such stories. But I want you to begin to adjust your mind. Adjust your mind right now. You are not poor. You are not the poor trying to be wealthy. You are the wealthy person the devil is trying to keep poor. The profit of the earth is for all. The deposit of this earth is for all. There are deposits on the earth meant for you. The devil has been preventing you from having them. Let me rush with the rest. I don't have any. I told my children and I wanted to enlarge their mind. I said, if there's anything you need that I have, don't be afraid to ask. That is within the context of correctness. For example, you cannot be 12 years old and you say, give me a car. That is not possible. But if I have it and you need it, don't beg for it. And I want them to know how to relate with our Heavenly Father. We don't go to God begging for the things that He has for us. I want us to have the audacity and the boldness to approach Him. And they learned it very, very well. There's no scarcity on earth. All things are yours. What is needed is available. If it is affordable by God, it's available for you. Heard that? If God can afford it, if it's affordable by God, it's available to you. Number five. After the mentality of abundance, generally your thought says, well, that money is not a problem. Number five, possess vision for abundance. Vision. Provision flows in the direction of vision. What occupies your heart determines what is pulled into your hands. Genesis 13:14-15. Genesis 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after a lot of separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. What do you see? Now I want to say something so I can clarify something. When I say possess vision for abundance, I don't want your vision to be like, I need 1 billion. It is not 1 billion you need. It is what you will do with that 1 billion that must be clear to you. What will you do with it? That is what must be clear to you. That is what constitutes the actual vision. For example, I am trusting the Lord to set up this kind of institution that will employ 50,000 people. Father, help me to wipe out poverty from my generation. Help me to ensure that I have a foundation that can attend to this or that. The things you will do with the money, that is the vision. Not the money on its own is materialism. I'm not preaching materialism. What will you do? That is the vision. And if you don't have it, go sit down with God. I want to buy a good house in Asokoro. That is not vision. That is survival. I want to buy the latest model BMW. Those are survival thoughts. I want to be a private jet owner. That is survival. Private jet to do what with? Or if you have thousands of people you are impacting and you need the private jet to take you around the world, that is part of the vision. To identify how you will touch humanity, how you will touch eternity, and how much money that will take. That is vision. That is vision. That is what vision is. That is what vision is all about. Because many people don't know exactly what a vision is. Let your heart be filled with vision. Possess vision. Number six. Emphasize investment. Investment. De-emphasize expenditure. Emphasize investment. De-emphasize expenditure. When money enters your hands, don't look for what to buy. Look for how to multiply. Did you hear what I said? Poor people look for things to buy for themselves. Wealthy people look for where to multiply the money. I can't say more than that. If you want to take charge, you got 100 million. You have done your covenant practice. Instead of going to buy a big house or a big car, whatever you have balance, like 70 or whatever, you plod it back into something else that brought maybe 200 million. And then you just, it's a chain. Before you can buy a shoe of 1,000, ensure that there is 100 to 1,000 times that amount somewhere that you are buying the shoe of 1,000 from. You are buying a shoe of 1,000. Let at least there be a million somewhere, 100,000 or a million. You bought a car of how much? Are you sure you have at least 100 times of that amount somewhere? Or in an investment? Otherwise, you are likely spending too much. The expenditure is too much. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is how people who multiply their who are not stranded financially, this is how they operate. The money is entering their hand. It is not a thought of what next to buy. It is where next to plow. It is how next to expand. How next to enlarge. How next to multiply. It is very, very tiny. But do this tiny wisdom. I think it was Proverbs 27:24. He said, prepare thy feet. Okay, yes. Start from verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure for every generation. All right, I'm looking for. Can we look at that? Prepare your walk without and make it fit for yourself. After that, you can build your house. Let your business do well. This is how I put it. Let your public impact be superior to personal comfort. Again, let your business impact be superior to personal comfort. Prepare your field. Ensure that your business is growing. After that, you can think of house. Let your business impact be superior to personal comfort. Don't be in a hurry to show up. Don't be in a hurry to show off. Don't be in a hurry to show what you have. Be under radar for a long time. When people discover who you are and what you are worth, let it shock the hell out of the devil. Many of us, you show yourself off too early. You manifest to a point where they think you are richer than you are actually, and you are not. I've seen people like that. They appear richer than they are, and they are not. I saw one man. First time he came to my office, he was lying on the floor. I've been under the cover of the ministry for a long time, submitting. I was almost looking away from him to another person. Unassuming. Nothing showed he had anything. This man was already in billions. Effortless one. As at the time we met, I think he had at least 10 billion somewhere that is not touching. Fixed somewhere in another, just fixed to bring returns. Now it's almost 100 times, or 10 times that, or more. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't. Just hurry slowly. Grow, hurry slowly. Can you see such an antagonistic statement? You are to hurry but be slow. Praise the Lord. That was emphasize investment. They emphasize expenditure. And finally, plan for the future. Don't let the future plan itself. Plan for your future. Plan for your business future. Let the abundance of today handle the unforeseeables of tomorrow. The abundance of today. Let it handle the unforeseeables of tomorrow. Let there be nothing like change of government affect your life. Affect your business. Change of policy. Don't position your life where a government changed, policies changed, global economic recession, this or that. You are just as stable as a rock because your years of plenty is sustaining you in the years of poverty for the world. You should have investments, reserves that are untouchable for nothing today. Not today, not tomorrow, not next tomorrow. Untouchable for nothing. Untouchable. Reserves was used to pay for this land. This is not a plot. This is an estate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that it doesn't matter who came. It doesn't matter who did not come. What I'm telling you now is the principle that Joseph taught Pharaoh. 7 years of plenty that were followed by 7 years of famine. He said, manage these years of plenty well. When the years of famine come, you won't know what famine is all about. When men say they are cast down, you shall be saying, there is a lifting up. Stand up on your feet, Adoma. Men say they are cast down. You are saying there is a lifting up. Job 22:29. When you go back from here, you read the Joseph story, the whole of Genesis chapter 41. Read all of it and see the wisdom. Bonds, stocks, whatever it is. Untouchable, except by divine direction. Pull this out now, reinvest it, multiply it. And then something is there. Something is just growing there. Please don't let your future fallow. And don't enter the future unprepared. It's like a man's wife was pregnant for 9 months. And at the end of the 9 months, he's looking for hospital money. To me, that is the height of irresponsibility. Your wife was pregnant the first month, second, when the belly was growing, you are seeing it. And you are the owner of the belly.
Are you hearing me? 8 months, 9 months, you are begging people, wife, my wife is due for delivery. Do you need Oboko? What am I saying? By the time it is 4 months, 5 months, and you see you are not there prepared, you may hand over yourself to a construction site. I hand over your life. Tell them my wife is pregnant, 4 months to go. I don't want to be ashamed. Employ me for anything you want me to do. Pay me daily wage. Let me save enough money. By the time the 9 months arrive, you can walk with your wife in confidence to the hospital. Am I coming? That's how life is. The future has already served you notice. Whether you like it or not, tomorrow will come. You can't pray against it. But don't allow tomorrow to arrive and you are unprepared. Am I communicating? We're talking about taking charge financially. Some people couldn't take charge because they entered a bankrupt tomorrow. Some government policies, some economy situation just knocked them out completely. All of a sudden, he was a millionaire before, it's now stranded because he has zero plans for the future. Or he tied his life to a current government. And that current government ended. And then they arrived at Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph. But when you plan like that, you can be like a Daniel with a mantle of perpetual relevance. They will be the one looking for you. Whether it was Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar or Cyrus or Darius, opposing governments, they look for you. Lift up your hands. Did you receive something tonight? Is your mentality changed a little bit? See, after me say, I cannot be stranded. I cannot be in scarcity. I cannot be in shortage. All I'm saying now is applicable to churches as well. Church money is not wastable money. It's not waste money. Church money is not money for pastor to waste on himself and waste on his life. God must confirm a good manager of people and manager of resources. Then he can entrust you. I think the time has come where some of the governmental institutions need to learn a lot of things from church. My father in the Lord, as of today, they may have up to 30,000 employees. 30,000 at least. The last time I knew was 20-something thousand. And no salary is owed. Everybody is paid. In this church, salary is on the 26th of the month. 25th of the month, you have your salary. No excuse is justifiable that the salary crosses to the next month. You arrive in December, you have a 13th month, an extra full month of salary. Along with other things that go on like that. Projects are going on. Things are happening on the week. Instead of criticizing church, people should go and learn how they are doing things. How the wisdom of management of resources, where a Christian organization can be running two universities at the same time. Top class. But let God find you as a pastor, as a good manager. And then he will entrust you with resources. Because he knows no dime will be missing out of it. Hallelujah. Lift up your two hands and begin to thank the Lord. Open your mouth. Let's take 5 minutes of prayer so that we can go out of here tonight. Lift your voice and thank him for his word to you tonight. Appreciate him. Honor him. Adore him. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Rofeka, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Mekadesh. Leko zirata sada. Larata zene gelito sotofata kazagalayada sadia. Le perate zoro nagado sofrito. La parata seke fete seka lagada harasadi. Yata sana galayada ya hasada layada. Prata saka lagada galamada braga baragala harasada kaharasododo. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Did I say 5 minutes? Are you ready to pray in the spirit? Are you ready to pray in the Spirit? You are ready to pray in the Spirit. I believe that the wings of inspiration shall be opened. Father, let rivers of living water flow through me. John chapter 7, verse 27. All right, everybody read one to go. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Father, let the rivers flow. Let dryness disappear. Let scarcity disappear. Let empty-handedness disappear. Let the river flow. For 5 minutes. Are you ready? Lift your voice now. Pray and say, Father, I ask for the flow of the river of the Spirit. Can start the timing. Say, I ask for the flow of the rivers of the Spirit. Rivers of revelation. Rivers of inspiration. Rivers of supply. Rivers of abundance. Let it flow now. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Oh, Let us take a picture of the fact that the social of the Hosu. Let us take a picture of the Koran of the Harakan. Let us say the video photo of the Katakan of the Harakan. Let us have another Delagan of the Hosu. Not a Delagan Thank you.
dancing on my soul. Bread of heaven, healing killer one. No more, till I go. Bread of heaven, healing killer one. No more, heal my cup, heal it up, and make me whole. Bread of heaven, healing killer one. No more, heal my soul. Feel it all. That makes me whole. You are my God. You are my God. You are my God. That makes me whole.
Father, we give you the praise. I worship you. We worship you. Lift up your hands. I pray tonight for everyone. 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 I pray. The mantle of supernatural supply that is upon this house. That mantle that has produced so many in the realm of resources. That mantle be released upon you.
Amen.
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 In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fresh help.
Amen.
Fresh grace.
Amen.
Fresh mercy.
Amen.
What you have heard. Grace to practicalize be released upon you. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard. The grace to hear it a second time. The grace to see results from what you hear. The grace to obey what you have heard be released upon you. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.